All that to say, thanks for being here today. I feel like I just ended something, but we're just getting started. You ready? Is it too early to say Merry Christmas? Yes, it is. It's not Christmas yet. Some of y'all thought Christmas was like, and some of y'all are panicking because I'm sitting at a keyboard right now. Namely, my wife, who knows that I don't know how to play the piano. Some of y'all were ready for Christmas, like not even Halloween. So you just need to get a grip on yourselves. Get some control. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So you might use a little bit of that. I'm going to try some right now. So here's the deal. I love music. Music for me is, it's a source of creativity. It's a source of emotion. It's an outlet. It's passionate. I love music. And in this season, what we are talking about is, what does it mean to be sent? When Jesus was sent to us, he wasn't just sent to us just to be here, but he brought things with him. He brought hope. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good. He brings hope, he brings joy, he brings love, he brings peace. And so this Advent, what we're doing is we're talking about that, and today we're going to talk a little bit about hope, but I don't think it's any surprise that music at Christmas is something that we gravitate towards too, because it does. It brings us up a little bit when we do that. And Shelley and I had the privilege of going to Olivet Nazarene University. One of our sons performed in Handel's Messiah. If you've ever sat through that, it's just this grand sweeping movement, and there's arias, and there's recitations, and there's big choral arrangements. The Hallelujah Chorus is in there. I mean, it's just this amazing, amazing, moving event that talks to this issue of hope and joy and love and peace that comes through the birth of Jesus Christ. But the funny thing is, I think, when it comes even to music, is sometimes we become so distracted by the things that are going on in life that we miss the power. We miss some of the power that's present in the music. And so on a good day, on a really good day, I think we hope our song or our lives kind of sound like this. Are you ready? Okay, are you ready? We're going to really stretch my abilities here. All right. Thank you. You may go now. No. That's a C major scale, right? It's just C. That's literally what it is. But here's what I want you to notice. It goes up, right? It goes up. Okay. I know, you don't have to keep clapping. It's going to happen a few more times, and it won't get any better. But here's the deal. It goes up, right? It's lilting a little bit. It's a little bit hopeful. It's not huge. It's not like some big extravagant thing that's going on. But I think most of the time we kind of want our lives to feel like that kind of upward scale, right? Like things are going upward, a major scale. But if we're honest, you know, this sounds really great. But a lot of times in life our song kind of sounds like, okay, starts going down. Same notes, those are the exact same notes, just not quite as hopeful, right? A little bit dissonant, a little bit like, where's this thing going? And so what we do is we end up trying to live our lives. I mean, then something comes up, and then this, and if we just hope a little bit more, if we just try a little bit more, oh, that was just horrible and amazing at the same time. But we're trying as hard as we can to get that thing moving up, from down to up, muster up some hope. And then we start looking at what? Our socials, or this starts happening, or then it just starts going down, and next thing you know, there's some major things that happen, and all we want to do, can we just get our life to go back up again? So, let me give you some good news. I think Jesus Christ offers us hope, and here's the deal. Even when it feels like that scale is going down, even when it feels like that scale is going down, the challenge is we don't end up pausing long enough in those moments to see it or to hear it. Here's that scale again. We think it's going down, but what would happen? What would happen if we paused long enough? What would happen if we rested long enough and listened for the hope that Jesus has for us? Even as the scale goes down, what would happen if we paused? Does that sound familiar? Those are the same, I know, that was as good as it gets. As good as it gets. Same eight notes, right? Same eight notes, but we paused long enough to hear the hope. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I want to read two different passages for you today. And the first passage kind of is that upward scale, the scale's moving up. But then I want to transition. The second passage that I read kind of begins to bring it down again. So the first passage is this, Luke 1:26 through 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary is greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Will never end. It's this amazing movement, this scale that goes up. This is exciting. This is Christmas, right? This is the birth of a Savior. Now, that's what happened before Jesus was born. We're going to fast forward now to this downward scale movement now, and it's after the death of Jesus. After the death of Jesus. Luke 24:13 through 21. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" It's just, here it is. There's the downward slope. "What things?" Jesus asked. They said, "About Jesus of Nazareth." They replied, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." It's a whole lot different feel, isn't it? So if you read on in Luke chapter 24, you find out they get to their destination. Jesus joins them for a meal, and as they're sitting there enjoying this meal with this stranger, they finally, in that moment, recognize who he is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus with them. Let me say this again. They were on this downward scale, but they paused long enough in this meal with Jesus to recognize hope. Hope was sitting right there with them, but they had to pause long enough to catch it. I just want to challenge us today. Jesus was sent to bring you hope. He was sent to bring hope. Pause long enough to receive it. It's for you. Now, I'm as guilty as anybody of being sucked into the downward scale. Actually, there are people in my life that are like, "Rich, do you ever live anywhere other than the downward scale?" Like, it's just very easy to go there. Not pausing long enough to see the hope of Jesus in the midst of the pauses in those notes going down. Did you note where they said this? They said, "We had hoped he was the one." We had hoped he was the one. And I wonder if you can relate to that at some level today. We put our hopes in all kinds of different things. You know, you had hoped maybe that COVID-19 was over and it would just go away. I think we're at COVID-23. Like, I didn't hear about it, but, you know, I don't know how many of you know somebody right now with COVID. Pastor Carrie's not here today because she has COVID. Be praying for her. So it's just going around. You'd hoped that COVID-19 would just go away. Maybe you would hope that that you would be healthy, but then one of your kids and a slew of others get it during Thanksgiving. That was our house. You hoped that relationship that you care about would have survived. You hoped that your job at some level would get better. You'd hoped that our world, that our nation, that our government would begin unifying instead of dividing. You'd hoped for those things. Hoped your marriage would somehow last. Hoped that your child would follow Jesus. Hoped for a different diagnosis. All kinds of hopes. But instead of hope, maybe your life right now feels like those notes are just in that descending order. There's that old hymn that's one of my favorites, O Holy Night. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. I think sometimes we can probably relate to the weary part more than the rejoicing part. Is that fair? Sometimes we find ourselves there. And I think that one of the temptations that we face when we find ourselves feeling that way is instead of pausing and then letting Jesus bring hope to us, instead of pausing and letting him speak in those moments, those breaks, and then us putting our hope back on him, we start clamoring around and we start looking for other things to put our hope on. Something that will ease the pain. Something that will make life just a little bit easier for the moment. Whatever it is, maybe the right politician. If we just got the right politician, man, wouldn't that just answer all of our problems? If we just had the right politician or the right person in my life, if I could just find that person, then I wouldn't be dissatisfied. Then things would be marching along. Or you know what? Best answer in the world. Maybe if I could just find the right church. If I could just find the right church with the right people in it and the right personality up front and the right programs for my family, man, that would be the answer to everything. All my hopes would be met. And so what happens? What do you discover when you put your hope in those things? Well, first of all, you find out promises get broken. You find out that people are flaky. Not you. Okay, it's never you, right? People are flaky. And far too often, the church hurts. Far too often. There are wounded people in the world today because of the actions of a church or a church leader. And all the while, the scale keeps getting played down. But what if? What if in our disappointments, in our frustrations, what if we paused long enough on that scale going down to experience the hope that only Jesus can bring? There's a hope that only Jesus can bring. And I kind of like to think of hope as like a sticker. Like you peel the back off that sticker, you're going to put your hope on something. You're going to stick your hope to something. We're going to affix it to something. What if in those pauses, there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to peel that sticker off of some of those things we did put our hope in and put it back on Jesus, to reposition our hope on Jesus Christ. So let's do a reality check. How does that work? What does that mean? I mean, this is real life church. You can't call yourself real life if you're not going to talk about real life. All right, so I'm really disappointed, Rich. I'm really frustrated. I'm really sad. I'm depressed. I'm burdened. I've got all these different things going on. My scale isn't just going down. It's like skipping notes on the way down. That's what I feel like right now. And so I'm going to stop for a second. Got all these things I'm hoping would be different, but I'm going to peel that sticker off. I'm going to put it on Jesus. The scale's going to go up now, right? How many of you think that's always happens? The scale automatically is going to start playing those upward notes. But listen, even in the downward notes, you have joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Okay. Even in the downward notes, in the downward pauses, we have reason to hope. I think it's important to note that these two individuals that were on that road to Emmaus, we don't really know 100% who these two are. Cleopas, we're told one of them is named Cleopas. You can kind of connect a few dots and think that maybe it was this other person in Scripture that's been referred to and stuff like that, but there's not 100% certainty. There's also literally no reason to believe this was not a man and a woman, a man and his wife. But I've always seen it depicted as two men walking on the road to Emmaus. But I think it's important a little bit that we don't 100% know who these two people were, because it allows us to see ourselves in their shoes, to see ourselves in this passage. There are times when Jesus, the one sent to bring us hope, to bring us love, joy, peace, all those things, he does not do that in the nice box that we have a tendency to want him to do those in. We have an idea of what things should look like. We have an idea of how things should play out. But Jesus doesn't always fit in that box. And this is why so many people rejected Jesus. Because Jesus didn't rally an army to defeat Rome. Jesus didn't show up and grab a flag and start waving it and say, "Follow me." He said, "No, pick up a cross, deny yourself, and follow me." And that was just too much for people to swallow. They couldn't take it. The religious leaders were like, "You're bonkers, and you're messing with our stuff. You've got to be gone. You've got to be done." Okay. So this is the Jesus that showed up, and people were really, really disappointed in that Jesus. People were living hand in mouth in Jesus, hand to mouth in Jesus's day. And Jesus came, and he could have overthrown the government and caused them to provide for everybody, but he didn't do that. Instead, he died a criminal's death on a cross. He came, he went, and it felt for so many people like nothing had changed. It felt for so many people who are on this downward scale that, oh, here's our hope. Jesus is here. We're going to pin our hope on Jesus. That means the scale's going to go like this. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. Now listen, what we need what Paul in Romans 5 says this: a hope that will not lead to disappointment. A hope that will not lead to disappointment. That insinuates that there are false things we put our hope on. That insinuates that maybe even there's a false hope that we might have. We might call that wishful thinking, right? Wishful thinking. Oh man, I just hope that this and this and this happens. I hope that since the Chicago Cubs stole the Milwaukee Brewers manager, that this year they'll get to act their act together. That's wishful thinking, just so you know. That's wishful thinking. But in all seriousness, if we don't place our hope in something that's certain, it's a misplaced hope. It's a frustrating hope because it will let us down. The hope Jesus was sent to bring looks like this. It's confident expectation based on the person and promises of Jesus, which are all true. So it's this confident expectation, that's the hope we have, placed on the person and the promises of Jesus. So the question then becomes, what have you placed your confident expectations on today? What have you placed those on today? I try to be the best husband for my wife that I can possibly be. I try, babe. I really do. And she knows I fall short. For her to have all of her expectations on me to fulfill everything that she has in her life, I want to, and she may want me to, but the reality is we can put our confident expectation on one who never fails. He's perfect. He's holy. He's right. He's just. There is no shadow in him. He is fully light. There is only one who will not fail us at some level. The language of Revelation is amazing to me, and I know I've shared these passages with you, but can I just talk to you about a little bit about where these confident expectations can lead us? First of all, Jesus is making all things new. This is why you can put your hope in him. Jesus right now is making all things new. Advent is a waiting time. It's a preparation time. We're waiting on the advent of something. What's interesting is we're spending time kind of looking back at the birth of Jesus, but you and I are an Advent people right now because Jesus will return. Jesus will return. In the language of Revelation, he will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain because the old is gone. Behold, I am making all things new. That's what he says. I am making all things new. Or in the language of Isaiah, even in the Old Testament, sorrow and mourning will disappear. How does that work? Man, sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they'll be filled with joy. and gladness. The New Testament alone is just completely saturated with this expectant return of Jesus. The early church lived their lives like Jesus was literally going to return today. That's how they lived their lives. They lived out this inbreaking reality of the kingdom of God right where they were every moment. And you and I are invited to do that too. Our lives lived for Jesus, loving and serving others, healing hurts, drying tears, feeding the hungry. Those are the practices of Advent people. Advent people live as though the kingdom of heaven does exist on earth. Because it does, it is, and is not yet. It's now and not yet. It's coming, but you and I get the privilege of living it out right here and right now. Our hope is grounded in the one who promises a day where none of the poverty and fear and concern and war and all of it, where none of that exists, and we will be with God perfectly. And as we live in this Advent time, we pause between those notes because we can also know that Jesus is with us now. He's making all things new, but he's also with you right now. Whatever is coming, whatever comes to you, whatever doesn't come to you, whatever experience you're going through right now, I would just say to you, you're not alone. You're not alone. We talk about this as a staff a little bit, but man, we've been in a season of just loss. There's been a lot of people who've lost loved ones over the last month or two. I feel like I probably have been a part of more funerals in the last 2 months than I've been the whole time I've been here. And some of those have been really tragic circumstances, and it's so easy in the midst of those things to feel like you're alone, like what you're experiencing, nobody else is experiencing. I just want to tell you, whatever comes, whatever doesn't come, whatever happens, whatever doesn't happen in your life, you're not alone. Remember that. You're not alone. Jesus is making all things new, not just for the future, but for today. He's alive. He's well. He's with you today, pointing us to a day when suffering and pain and brokenness and separation and all of that will end. But he infuses us with real hope today, even in those downward scales. It's a hope that's sent to us in the person of Jesus. And there are times, we have to be honest, right? There are times when, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, life does not make sense. I wish I could tell you that it does. I wish I could give you answers when you ask all the questions. But there are times when we're confused. There are times when we don't have answers to everything. There's times when we don't know. There's times when I don't know what to do. There's times when I don't know what to say. Scared, angry, upset. Maybe we realize in those moments, maybe we're being invited to see that perhaps we've pinned our hopes on something other than Jesus. Advent, this season right before Christmas, is a time for a pause on the downward scale. A time for asking questions. That's what Advent is. It's preparation. Time for asking questions. So if in that pause that you hear, joy to the world, the Lord is come. The next question then is, have you received your King? That's what's important in those pauses. The question, have you received your King? Jesus became God with us. Emmanuel, God in the flesh. Moved into the neighborhood. Mary was told to call her son Jesus because he would save the people from their sins, a Messiah, a Savior. To receive your King, honestly, is to receive what these elements that we're going to receive here in a few minutes symbolize: the broken body, the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. He died, he broke death, he broke it. He defeated death. And he did that to restore a relationship between us and God. He died so that in those pauses when we reposition our hope on him, it's just not a fleeting hope, it's an everlasting hope. It's an eternal hope. That's the hope we long for. That's the hope that we ache for. So So as you rip that sticker off of whatever it is you've placed your hope on and reposition it on Jesus, this is an everlasting hope. This is an unfailing hope. He's an unfailing, righteous, good, holy, loving, merciful, gracious Savior. He loves you. He loves you. And maybe you're sitting here today and maybe you need to receive Jesus as your King today. Maybe as we're just here in these brief moments before we have communion together, I just want to pray for you. And if this is you today, I just want to encourage you to pray. Here's the good news. I mean, it's good news. Every single person in this room right now needs Jesus. Everybody in this room needs Jesus. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. So I'm going to pray. And maybe at this moment you just need to recognize, you know, I've pinned my hopes on something else. I pinned my hopes on myself even. And I need to reposition that hope on Jesus. And I believe that he died for me. He gave his life for me. He loves me. And I want to confess him as my King today. I want him to take up residence in my life, inhabit my heart, my thoughts. I want to live for Jesus, not just for eternity, but I want to live for Jesus today. Can I pray for you? And if that's the prayer of your heart, I just want to encourage you right where you are as we close our eyes just to pray that along with me. Father, I just come before you today. And I know there are things in my life that aren't perfect. I know there are things in my life that I've relied on and over and over and over again. I've had to put my hope on something else. Father, I just want to put my hope on something once for all. I want to put my hope in Jesus today. I want to receive the gift of forgiveness that he offers me. For the things in my life that don't look like you, that don't sound like you, that don't live like you. I believe Jesus Christ died for me so that I might have everlasting life, but also real life today. So today I confess Jesus as my Savior. He is my worthy King. I receive his love in my life. Thank you. Amen. We're going to receive communion today. If you prayed that, I would just love for you, even if you fill out a little next steps card that's in your thing, draw a little star. Make sure you write your name down, but draw a little star on it or say, hey, Pastor Rich, talk to me. We want to walk this journey with you. If you prayed that prayer and you started that journey of putting your hope in Jesus and Jesus alone, I want to encourage you to write that down or come see me or do something. Get in contact with us so that we can walk with you. At the same time, I want to invite everybody to join us for communion today. If you want to take a little time here, these are a little difficult, but you can peel that top layer off and get that bread out. I want to encourage you to do that today in preparation. As you do that, let me read this. This is the table, not of the church. This is the table of the Lord. It's made ready for those who love him and those who want to love him more. So come. You who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed at times, come, because it's the Lord who invites you. It's his will that those who want him should meet him here. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat down for this meal at a table with his disciples, his friends, his family. He said, this bread is the body of me. He passed it around. He says, whenever you eat this, I want you to do so in remembrance of me. And so we join those throughout the centuries that have done the same thing, and we remember Jesus through the breaking of the bread. In the same way, he passed the cup. He gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my blood, which will be spilled for you to establish a new covenant. Your sins are forgiven. Every time that you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." And so we do the same. Would you stand with me? Father, you've invited us here in your grace and mercy to be with us, and that we might be with you. And today, Father, I just pray for all of us that on this Advent journey, where we talk about what it means for Jesus to be sent to us, he was sent to give us this hope, Father, but it's not a fleeting hope. It's not a hope, Father, that disappears. It's a hope that we can affix on Jesus. He's the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. And so, Father, in the next month, even just challenge us, any moment that we're tempted to look around us in the scramble where the notes are going down and we panic, we don't know what to do, what I don't know what to do, Father, make me pause. Make me pause so that I can hear joy to the world. The Lord has come. Help me to pause, Father, to reposition that hope back on Jesus where it belongs. And I pray that for all of us today. It's in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. One last thing before you go. So here about 10:15 or so, I'm going to be in room 105, which is down the hall, around the corner. You'll find it. There's some signage. But if you're interested in the Palmarcito partnership trip this summer to Guatemala, we would love to meet with you. 10:15. I've got a list of people. But if you would like to jump in that and find out more, I would encourage you to do that. Thanks. God bless. Have an awesome day.